Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, my name is Karma Spence, and I'm the author of Public Speaking Superpowers. Today, I'm speaking with Meg Waters, a public speaking coach to executives and politicians, as well as a speechwriter. Welcome to the call, Meg.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
Well, I began in high school doing public speaking, and then in the course of my work in public relations and advocacy for political issues here in Southern California, I found that I often had to speak to Rotary clubs or various groups about an issue, and often I was involved in controversial issues. And so a lot of it was just learning kind of under fire about how to handle public speaking, how to be persuasive in your public speaking, and how to use the opportunity to convey your message.
Do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you are born being able to do?
I think it's both. I think that some people are more comfortable being in a public venue than others, but you have to know some basics and you definitely have to practice and get more comfortable. You can't just wake up one morning and decide you're going to be a public speaker, because if you don't do well, it will scare you from ever trying to do it again.
Right, right. Now, if you were a public speaking superhero, what do you believe would be your main superpower?
My main superpower would be to instantly morph into what everyone in the audience wants to see and hear. Be able to telepathically know why people came to that speech and or program, and be able to instantly answer the questions that they have in their mind.
How do you do that?
Well, that's if I was a superpower. The trick is knowing how to do it. You can't read people's minds, obviously, but you can certainly get a lot of background information before you go to a meeting and really press the people who've invited you to tell you more about who's going to be in the audience, how they're promoting the speech, so that you have a good idea of the expectations of the audience there. If you're dealing with something that could be controversial, you want to get a sense of how many people about are going to be on your side, how many aren't. Sometimes the time of day affects them. If you're talking at a breakfast meeting versus a dinner meeting versus a lunch, people are going to be in a different frame of mind. If you're talking to women versus men, are you talking to working people or retired people, and so forth. The more you know about the audience going in, the better you can tailor what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, so that you will be able to at least reach the majority of the audience in a way that they're going to be receptive to hearing what you have to say.
So a lot of it is preparation and research.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got to be prepared walking in the door. Even if you speak, which I prefer to speak extemporaneously, but even if you're going to do that, you really have to know who you're talking to.
Say you weren't able to get a lot of that research, because sometimes the people who are organizing the meeting aren't as forthcoming as maybe they should be. Are there ways that you can do that once you've stepped into the room?
Yes. One of the things I always tell my clients is to get there early and to meet as many of the people in the room as you can. So when you start speaking, they are now listening to a friend as opposed to someone who's, quote unquote, anonymous to them. This is especially true if you're dealing with a controversial subject, but it's equally as true if you're going there representing a local charity. People tend to be more receptive and more positive to people they know and like. So if they've had a chance to meet you, circulate in the room as much as you can before the presentation starts. Get to know people by name. Make some kind of a connection through your family, your kids, your hobbies, whatever, so that they begin to view you as a human being. And they will tend to give you more latitude as you speak than someone who they know nothing about other than what was in the introduction.
So basically be approachable before you speak.
Right. You don't want to get to the speech and hide out in the corner or the women's washroom or the men's room and wait to be introduced. You want to be out there talking to your audience and, as they say in show business, kind of warming up the house a little bit.
Now, I know that some people who are listening to this are introverts. In fact, I'm an introvert myself. What kind of advice would you give to someone who's kind of shy to still be able to warm up the room?
Well, I'm an introvert also, and it's taken me a while to get over myself, so to speak. But the first thing you have to remember is that you know more about this than anybody else in the room, more about your subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not going to be criticizing you for every single word you say or whether you have some parenthetical comment or not. I think people are overly critical about what they say. Second of all, you need to be very comfortable, and this I think is particularly true for women, but also true for men. You have to wear clothing, shoes, whatever, makeup, hair, that makes you feel good that day. Because if you go in front of an audience and you feel like your dress is too tight or your shoes don't fit and hurt your feet or whatever else, you're not in one of your best friends of mine, you're going to be so focused on what you think people are criticizing you for, you are on your speech. So you need to be comfortable in what you're wearing. You need to have the kinds of notes or full text speech that are going to make you comfortable, but you've got to give yourself the leeway to go off topic as well. And then practice. The more you do it, the better you become. Obviously, if somebody is really shy, I would not recommend that they speak on a controversial subject first shot out of the barrel. But if they want to practice, there's Toastmasters and all kinds of good organizations that people can get some practice speaking in front of groups. Another thing a lot of CEOs are doing is taking acting classes. In fact, not just CEOs, but I know a number of trial attorneys who go to their local community college or theater, and there are actually many cities have acting classes for non-actors, and it gives you the chance to learn the techniques of pacing, being in front of an audience, and so forth that actors know and that are extremely transferable to the workplace. It also gives you the advantage of not having to be saying your own words, but to be saying the lines from the play or whatever it is that you are quoting from. And acting has a certain amount of playfulness in it that you can use to pretend they're somebody else when they go up. I have a hard time if I was invited to come to a group and speak as Meg Waters, come and talk about Meg Waters and what a wonderful human being you are. I would be absolutely at a loss for words because I don't like to talk about myself, and I would find that incredibly uncomfortable. However, I can go to any group and talk about my clients all day long because I'm an advocate by training, and I believe in their product or message, or I wouldn't be taking them on as a client. So I think to the extent that you can play act a little bit in your head and say, I'm representing my company or my cause or my church, whatever it is, it's not really me. There's a certain amount of comfort you can take in that and distance yourself a little bit from what might be frightening if you were just putting yourself up there on the line.
Okay. If you were to list out what the three most important superpowers of a public speaking superhero would be, what do you think they would be?
Well, if I'm following what you're saying, the things you should do in a speech.
Well, like you said, one of your superpowers was basically knowing how to read the room and being prepared to make your speech fit the room. That's a superpower.
So that's one of them. Another one would be letting there be enough silence for people to hear. I think that is so important, and particularly when people get nervous, they tend to talk too fast. The most important thing for beginning speakers is to slow down, because people don't hear you when you're talking. They hear you when you're silent. And by that I mean you need some time to process the information. Public speaking is not the same as reading the written word, and I think a lot of people misunderstand that in the beginning. In order to understand what somebody is saying, your brain needs time to hear the word and assimilate them in their mind before they can go on to the next thought, particularly if you're dealing with something that's very complex or if it's new information to the group. People are going to need time, and we have a word for it in English. It's called absorbing the information. If you're talking so fast that there's no break or pause, they're not going to catch anything of what you say, because they're going to be hung up back on the first couple things you said, and you're going to be so far down the road that they'll get lost and then they'll turn you out mentally. So I think the power of silence and mastering the power of silence is critically important. You'll see this in a lot of very accomplished speakers, or a lot of elected officials that are good speakers have mastered this technique of deliberately stopping for emphasis or for surprise or for drama. Speaking is not the same as talking to someone. When you're doing public speaking, it's an entirely different way of communicating than having a conversation with someone one-on-one. And while it would be awkward in a conversation to have these kinds of pregnant pauses and so forth, in a speech, it's not only appropriate, but it's absolutely necessary for people to have the opportunity to hear you and understand you. So I think that's probably the second most important superpower. So the first is reading the audience. The second is giving them time to hear. And the third, I think, is respecting the audience's time and intelligence. If you've been invited to speak for 10 minutes, then speak for 10 minutes and stop. If you've been invited to speak on a certain topic, then be prepared to speak on that topic and don't think that you can go and say, well, I'd rather talk to you about something else today. So respect, I think, is the third most important.
So let's say we've got someone who would like to develop their own public speaking superpowers, and they would like to develop the ones that you've talked about today. What advice would you give them so they could start developing those powers?
Well, for reading the audience, what I often have my clients do is ask their assistant, or to do it themselves when they have a public speaking opportunity, to have the person, or to verbally go through with the person, a form that you can check off with all the information that you need to know, such as the location, the time, will I have a podium, how many people will be in the room, and so forth. So by filling out this form, you're getting a lot of the information in advance to really understand your audience. And then you can also use that information to look up the organization on the internet and find out more about them and so forth, so that you're as prepared as you possibly can be. It's almost like going to a job interview, where you want to be as knowledgeable about the company that you're applying to as you possibly can. For the pauses, again, that comes with practice. If you are one to write out your speech beforehand, write those pauses into the speech when you're putting it together. As a speech writer, I always put in not only just the words for my client, but I also put in the pacing for my client. Here's where you stop. Here's where you can cover the information more quickly. Here's where you need to look at the audience. Almost like a script for a play. Approach your speech in that way so that you're actually staging it.
And this is where an acting class might help.
Yeah, exactly. Or even look at plays and look at how all of that is called out. That could be very much a part of your speech writing process, so that you know when it is you're supposed to do it, and then practice it, because you'll get good feedback. If the first time you run through it is when you're giving your speech, it's too late. You need to have time to say it over and over in advance so that the pauses seem very natural to you. And then, again, the respect comes when you're doing the interview with the person that's booking you for a speech. You'll learn more about what it is they want from you by really asking that person why they've invited you, what prompted an interest in your topic, and so forth. Again, the internet is a great place for research on that, to know more about who these folks are. You may be invited to speak, let's say, at an organization like the Surf Riders Foundation, and you may think, oh, these are just going to be a bunch of teenagers with sand in their hair and baggy shorts, and you may get there and be quite surprised, find a lot of CEOs in the audience. If you hadn't done your research, you might totally talk down to and insult these people. But if you do your research and find out that that organization does have some kids in it, but it's also the people who really run it are not just a bunch of teenagers with surfboards. So that's the type of thing you can't always assume by the name of an organization or even by the person who invited you what they're really going to be like.
Right. Sometimes you have a little bit more leeway in time. Do you recommend, when you get up on the stage, maybe asking a couple of questions that will help you tailor your speech? Do you think that's a good idea?
If you're comfortable being impromptu, kind of depends on how comfortable you are. Some people, when they walk up on the stage, they've got to know what they're going to say and say it. That's not a time where they could handle any changes. But in other groups, seminars, for example, you might ask the group when you get there. I used to teach a class for the California Redevelopment Association, and we had a certain curriculum that we went through, but we'd always ask the class up front, is there anything in particular that you're interested in? And usually it was something that we had already planned on covering. And so we'd say, okay, well, after the break, that's exactly the topic we're going to get into. On the rare occasion, it was something that we hadn't planned to discuss. When we got to a part of the seminar that was relevant to, we would bring that issue up. But that helps a lot because it gives the audience the opportunity to relax and listen to you, knowing that eventually they're going to get what they came for. If people come to hear you speak on a topic and it doesn't sound in the beginning like you're going to ever get to what they're interested in, they're likely to either shut you off mentally and say, oh, why did I do this? Or think of a reason to get out of the room before you get to what
right.
you were going to talk about. So you want to calm your audience down or make them feel comfortable that if they stick with you, you may not be on their topic right off the bat, but if they stick with you, they're going to get to where they want to be.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Meg, for sharing this information with us. This is Karma Spence signing off on today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.